triumphant. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We announce, Lord, that you are a victor, and you are a victor for everyone in this room.
Yes.
And the devil has no power whatever against you.
Yes.
We receive you as victor.
Yes.
As our victory, Jesus.
Yes.
We receive you as our total and perfect victory.
Yes.
In body, soul, and spirit. And we have that Satan has no place in us, Lord. Because we belong to you.
Yes.
And we thank you for that victory which is ours this day, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you for each and every one which you brought here, Lord. We know that they are here in your divine order, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And we pray that you will touch each one and that no one will leave here unchanged.
Yes.
But there will be an eternal balm and an eternal nourishing, Lord, of the hearts. And a release of all bondage, insight, and a removal of deception. Circumcise the flesh, O God. Cut back that which is dead and useless in our lives.
Amen.
And cause Christ to be renewed in us this day in a new place and a new release. Touch us, Lord, in spite of ourselves. And show yourself to be God. Forgive us our many sins as we freely release those, Lord, whom we would criticize. We release them. Lift us above criticism, Lord. Lift us above trying to make people in our own image. Lift us above, Lord, that which we would take and throw, Lord, at others who do not meet our standards. And grant, Lord, that we will be released from this that is less than thy best, and cause our eyes to be fixed upon Jesus today. Free us, Lord, that we may worship you as we have never worshipped you before. Make this not only a new year, Lord, but a new reaching out and a pressing forward and a stretching out of what we are, that we may lay hold on horizons that are now visible, Lord, but will require stretching. Hallelujah, and a letting go of that which has been our portion, Lord, in the past, and an attaining unto that which is greater and freer and fuller and more of you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a greater place in Jesus Christ today than we've ever known. Hallelujah. Building on the past and reaching forth to that which is ahead. Hallelujah. How wonderful, Father. We can't do these things of ourselves. We can't do a do-it-yourself redemption, Lord. We release, Lord, our feeble attempts to be religious.
Yes.
And we fall upon the rock. Hallelujah. We ask you, Lord, to put some of that rock in us today.
Yes.
We may stand in Jesus Christ and see the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
See the Lord. Behold you, Lord, in the beauty of your temple. Hallelujah. We may pass from grace to grace and from glory to glory this day. Father, we can do nothing, none of us, especially me, Lord. None can do anything of ourselves. None of us. Can do anything of ourselves. So we cast ourselves upon Jesus this day. We thank you in his name. And everyone said, Amen. Shall we be seated? Turn to Deuteronomy, 7th chapter. We'll read together verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the King James, Deuteronomy 7.
Dr. Bob, I'd like to share something. This has been on my heart the whole service, and it was confirmed by Audrey.
Okay, stand up one, Sonny, and give it so that everyone can hear, please.
This has been on my heart throughout the whole service, and it was confirmed by Audrey's prophecies and by the pastor's prayer. And I'm not very good at delivering prophecies in the classical Pentecostal style, so I'm not even going to try. But basically what it is that the Lord, we're not to believe that God is capricious in his dealings with his people, that where he holds your life in the palm of his hand, and he knows you, he has complete control over all the circumstances of your life, every second, of every minute, of every hour, of every day, and there is absolutely nothing that can get beyond him without his approval. And we are not to even complains, where he it grieves his heart terribly when we wonder if he loves us. It breaks his heart because of the sacrifice that he made. We are not to complain. We are not to wonder whether he loves us or not, because of an absolute certainty he does love us. And what he's waiting for is to experience our love. The main thing is he's not capricious in his dealings with us. He's not capricious. He knows exactly what he has to do so that the features of Christ can be chiseled out in our soul, so that we can take on the character of Jesus in the fabric of our nature. And he wants us to stand still and to rejoice and to have grateful hearts as he works out the character of Jesus in us. And he doesn't want us to complain. But we're not children anymore. He's brought us to a place of maturity where he can deal with us and as adults. And when an adult is being dealt with in a constructive manner, he does not complain. Only children complain. But mature believers do not complain when God works on it.
Praise the Lord. Receive the word of exhortation. All right. That's for you. Grab hold of it and be blessed by it. Let it release you unto faith and courage. All right, Deuteronomy 7, and here we go. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. Praise the Lord. So there, God isn't capricious. We're going somewhere. We're going toward a land. Notice that it says, when the Lord shall bring you. In other words, God is in control of our salvation. And God will clear away the nations. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to follow God. Notice that it's seven nations. In other words, seven in the scriptures, the number of perfection. This means that God is going to do a perfect work against the enemy. For so many years, I guess we have believed, whether just assumed perhaps without verbalizing, that somehow the devil was always going to finally win, at least in the earth. But this is not true. We are on our way toward perfect, total victory in the earth. Bless God. There's nothing in the Bible that says that we have to sin while we're in the world. Nothing whatsoever says that. The devil and his angels do not inherit the earth. We are God's people. We inherit the earth. The earth is made for man, not for the devil. And so as we take advantage of the cross, standing in that, do God's will, we can have total, perfect victory. We do not fear Satan. We do fear the Lord, but we do not fear Satan. He is a conquered foe. So don't give up. The things that God is working in your life may seem insurmountable at this day, but the day will come when you will stand in total victory, and you will say how perfect and how blessed has been God's work. Now I see why I have had to labor so hard in the wilderness, because it was necessary to humble me so I would not be saving myself, but God would be saving me. All right. When the Lord your God shall deliver them before you. Notice in the second verse, it does not say if he does. Well, I'm in the New American Standard now. It does not say if he does. It says when he does. It's only a matter of time. Time. Satan knows his days are over, are finished to a close. I guess he knows also from the scripture that God will give him a brief period of authority during the time of Antichrist to accomplish God's purposes. But Satan was already totally defeated upon the cross. And the battle is being waged now in you and me But it is not a new battle. It's the old battle being manifest as we agree with the Holy Spirit, walk in faith, learn and grow. Then all the things of the devil are only working for our good. Praise the Lord. It isn't a battle between God and the devil. It's a working out and a manifestation of a victory already finished 2,000 years ago. The Bible says, Romans 16:20, my God shall crush Satan under your feet shortly. Again, the question of time. Jesus is at the right hand of God, waiting till his enemies be made his footstool. Again, an implication of God's timing. The voice of the demons when Christ walked on the earth, art thou come to torment us before the time? So, God knows what he is doing. He is moving along on a sequence of time, of order. We studied Thursday night, order upon order, line upon line. It is not a hit or miss, random thing. It is not that God is waiting for us to have faith. That is not a correct orientation to the Word of God. God is not moving in the earth in terms of man's faith. Man's faith is not worth much more than man's love or man's joy. It's just of the flesh like everything else. God moves according to his own sovereign purposes in the earth. And our faith is only to believe what God tells us. That's what the Bible teaches very clearly in the Old and New Testament, particularly Hebrews 11. God is not waiting for us to make up our mind what to do, to decide what needs to be done. God knows what he is doing. If he's waiting for anything, he's waiting for people to find that out and to begin to present their bodies a living sacrifice that they may move in God's will. Hallelujah. Not trying to invent a new kingdom, not trying to save the world, not trying to be something, not trying to prove something or organize something or anything else. Just to seek God and do his will. Seeking of God is faith. That faith is the seeking of God. And when you find him, obey him. Seeking first the kingdom of God. That's the true faith that we exercise. Not trying to do some scheme of our own in the earth. I will lead you. I will drive them out before you. The work is of God. And our faith is to have courage and diligence in following the cloud and the fire. Not scooting off on something that we cooked up in our head. Praise the Lord. Let all the saints say amen. Amen. When the Lord your God shall deliver them. It is not a question if, it is not a question when you do this or that. When God does it. And the same thing is true in your life as an individual. Don't get discouraged about the things that happen. Have faith in God. Don't give the devil a credit for anything. The devil isn't after you. God's after you. The blood doesn't protect us from the devil. It protects us from God. Our problem is not with the devil, our problem is with the Lord. Paul said, oh, that I may know him, not that I may know the devil. So forget about the devil, that's not your problem. Your problem is the will of God in finding his plan for your life. Hallelujah. The Bible says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Not the devil, it had nothing to do with the devil. So quit giving the devil the glory. He's a defeated foe. Our problem is finding out the will of him who walks in a white robe with eyes of fire and doing his will. That's our problem as Jesus Christ. He's the Lord. He's the God that we serve. And he is going to crush the devil. And all we have to do is follow him as he takes the lead. Hallelujah. Onward, Christian soldiers marching us to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. And as God leads us and we follow him, we go from victory to victory. His army he shall lead. And the same thing is true in your life. You don't have to worry about the enemy or anything. Just worry about finding out God's will. You say, why are all the hornets after me? The reason the hornets are after you is because God's after the enemy in your life. God is after him. And if you will turn around and go the way that God is leading you, you won't have any more trouble with the devil. He makes his enemies to be at peace with him, the man that serves the Lord. The reason we're in an uproar, and we heard this morning, don't blame God. The reason is because God's trying to get us to turn around and go his way. So when you have problems in your life, don't blame people, don't blame circumstances, the government. Don't blame poor old Khomeini or whatever. He's got his problem. That's not where your problem is. Your problem is finding God. And when you get on the wonderful track that God has for you, you can forget about the devil. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. So if you fear the Lord, the angel of the Lord will take care of the rest. Praise the Lord. This is not a do-it-yourself redemption. It's of God. And it works in his timing. and as he leads. The cloud and the fire is on the way. You don't send up your own cloud, and you don't light your own fires. There's one cloud and one fire. All you have to do is follow it. Praise the Lord. And it'll be there whether you have faith or not. The only faith you have to exercise is faith to get up and move and follow that thing in your life and quit trying to do the thing yourself. Praise the Lord. I says amen. That's good preaching, Brother Thompson. All right. At you shall defeat them. Now I want you to notice the double action there. This is very important for us to understand. We do not defeat the enemy, right? We do defeat the enemy, right? I see you can't make up your mind. No, you know I'm a trickster when it comes to these things. There's a double action here. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And I like to say it's 51% God, 49% you. That gives God 2 points over you. And it's the way it's supposed to work. God leads the way and you follow. Now, God will not do it all alone. And you can't do it all alone. It takes the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now, if you get either one of these two out of the proper emphasis, the thing will not work. You have to give God His place. You can't get ahead of God and say, I'm going to do this. I got power over all the power of the devil. You do that and the devil will give you victories just to lead you away from the Lord. The only thing the devil is afraid of is Jesus Christ. He's not afraid of you and your faith. But he is afraid of the Lord Jesus. And I said the devil will give you victories to get you away from Jesus. You say amen or not?
Amen.
Jesus said, "At you shall ask me," in the New American Standard, John 14:15, "whatever you will, and then you will do it," right? No, what does it say? I will do it. So always send your prayer by satellite. You're not online with a computer. You're online by a satellite, and that satellite is the Lord Jesus. Make sure you're not praying this way. You are not overcoming the devil. You pray this way, and God will overcome the devil. Now, who conquers, you or God? No, both of you.
Praise the Lord.
See, it takes a while to get adjusted to the thing. You've got to get God and yourself in balance. And you'll see this in this verse. And when the Lord your God shall deliver them up before you, and you shall defeat them, you shall utterly destroy them. Who destroyed them? The two of you. You don't believe me. All right. My God shall crush Satan under your feet. Now, who trod on the devil? That's right, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, this is an extremely simple but extremely crucial concept because it is not right to say, well, like we've got 10 Christian people, look at all the power we have. No, you don't have any more power than if you had 2 Christian people. The power is not resident in the Christian people. And so you can get 10,000 Christian people all praying. It doesn't mean that. In fact, it's probably be the enemy of God. You're better off having one person in touch with Jesus than 10,000 all talking about what they're going to do by faith. Hear me. Hear me. This is the difference between Christ and Antichrist. Prayers and faith do not work this way. Prayers and faith work this way. You never pray to the Christ within you or the Christ in anybody else. You pray at the Christ at the right hand of God. Well, I know it's hard to get a hold of because we hear all kinds of things. But you can believe it and trust in it. It's just old-fashioned Christianity. Pray to Jesus and nothing else. And don't pray to yourself. You shall ask me anything in my name. I will do it. Put God first, and then you come up with your 49%, and the thing will work for you. Praise the Lord! Amen. You shall make no covenant with them. Saints, this is one of the prime burdens of the morning. You shall make no covenant with them and show no favor to them. Now, what this is talking about is consecration. You say, oh, yeah, that's easy. No, it's quite difficult. It was quite difficult for the Israelites. They were people, and so were the Amorites and the Jebusites and the Girgashites. You think those names are funny? They think American is funny. Ridiculous. These are important names to those people. And they're average people, just like you and me and the Lord. And Israel's problem was, when they came against them and they looked at them, God says, put them all to sword. That's fine if you see them and see how cute they are. And you say, well, you know, that's kind of heavy. I mean, we'll kill the men of war, but I mean, see? All right, now we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting spiritual things. But the same principle applies. We've got a lot of things in our nation that people think are cute. You know, I mean, let's not get too excited. I mean, it's all in the kind of the religious jazz. But it's not really the Word, and it's not really true, and it's not really sincere, and it's not really straight. It's the religious ballyhoo game that we've gotten ourselves into. The Lord says, if man smites you on one cheek, turn the other. But, you know, then we got a joke that goes along with that, see? Jesus is not a jokester. He is God. And everything He says, He means. And religion is not a joke. Religion is a life and death struggle for human beings all over the world today, some 5 billion of them, and we've got to keep that before our consciousness. It isn't us four and no more. It's 5 billion people in need of God, and most of them don't know their hand from their elbow about God. I had a young lady came up to me yesterday. This young lady is a champion in her field. She's a world champion in her field. She said, would you tell me about God? I don't know a thing about God. I said, are you saved? She said, I was saved a couple of months ago, but I don't know anything. Could you talk to me? Could you talk to some of us? We need to know about God. That's where people are today. They need to know about God. Some 5 billion of them. And that is your responsibility and mine to hold before Jesus Christ, because He has the energy and the wisdom and the power to do something about it. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're not us four with our little problems, like somebody spilled ink on the front room floor. It doesn't matter if the whole thing was ink. What matters is those 5 billion people and their need of God. That's what matters. And we have been entrusted with the Word of Life. Now, the one thing that will hinder the Lord's working to release people is if we are not zealous enough in these marriages. And this here in the spiritual realm, in this dispensation, not talking about marrying in the flesh, but it's talking about the things we allow into our lives. Some of them are cute, and some of them are nice, and they seem innocent and harmless. And what's the difference if I waste all afternoon watching the football game? Everybody does it. I'll tell you what the difference is. You will be standing one day at the judgment seat of Christ answering for those 2-3 hours. So how'd I know he was watching football? I don't know what you're... I just shoot out things in the air. Sometimes they land in Colorado. Sometimes they land in other places. That's right. Redeem the time. Is that a commandment? Look, I'm not crazy. I'm not saying everybody should be a nervous wreck and working until their nerves are frayed. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the time that you and I waste fiddling, fooling around with the, quote, women, the things, the idols, the entertainment of America without a burning consciousness of time and what we are doing. Praise the Lord. Don't worry too much about it if you're wasting time. Don't worry about what I'm saying. All I'm doing is interpreting what's going to happen to you. The Lord's going to send the hornet after you. And when He does, don't blame the devil. It isn't the devil. It's the Lord stirring you up to get you in a better place so you won't stand before Him naked and have to answer for your use of time. Time is a valuable commodity in these days. There's a tremendous sense of urgency. It's no longer time to live like we did when I was a boy. And you know, you just kind of wasted time by the stack. I used to go out in the woods, lay on my back and just watch the animals, you know, all afternoon laying in a nice sunny pasture. Eh? Don't you think that some of us wouldn't love to just cut and run and go live in a log cabin somewhere and forget the world? Don't you think we wouldn't love to do that? Have a little farm, be self-sustaining somewhere in northern Canada or somewhere else. Don't you think that doesn't appeal? But you see, God hasn't called us to live unto ourselves. He has charged us with the gospel. And so we have to spend the rest of our lives making sure that our time is spent in the thing that God wants, and we'll get our little cabin somewhere later during the millennium. Time, saints. Time. God's on a time schedule. And today is a day of urgency. And if things don't move fast enough for God, He stirs them up a little. And I'm just showing you that it's God this morning. It's not the devil. It's not you fighting the devil. It's you and the Lord getting the program together. That's what it is. As simple as that. You get on God's track and your life will just blossom and bloom. You'll have peace. You'll wonder whatever happened to the devil. You won't be able to get near you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You shall not intermarry with them. You shall not give your daughters. In other words, you are not part of the world. You are in the world, but not of the world. And the things of the world do not pertain to you. You are not a nice little American citizen. You are a citizen of heaven. You are a member of the body of Christ. You have been called out to represent the Lord God as a prophet among men. Every one of you, from the least to the greatest, the youngest to the oldest, is a prophet of God among men. That is your calling. To show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You are not an average person. You are the hand of God in the earth to do His will. Not to figure out something and try to do it, but to obey God in the niche where you are. And if you do, your life will be fruitful and abundant. God isn't asking you to be something that you're not able to. He's only asking that you turn your attention and your time unto Him and don't waste it with the things of the world. Don't intermarry with it. Don't touch it. It'll be a snare to you. You'll regret it. It will cost you eternally if you do. All right. The Israelites didn't do this. They intermarried. And these people were terrible in the land. That's why God said, put them all to death. Part of their religion was burning their babies in the fire. And they taught Israel to do that. That's what it means, passing through the fire. They took their little babies and they rolled them down a big tunnel into a furnace. An offering to the god Moloch. Their land was full of what's called the Asherim. They were statues of obscenity and lust. And God said, if you don't cut that thing down and if you don't slay them to a person, you will end up doing it. And they ended up burning the little Hebrew babies in the furnace to Moloch. That's the way sin is. It's contagious. Good apples do not make a rotten one good, and you know it. Good apples. Holiness is not contagious. You have got to develop it from yourself within. You could be with a holy people all your life and it will not affect you. You have to touch God for yourself. Holiness is not contagious. But sin is dreadfully contagious. Just like a rotten apple will spoil a barrel. Rotten apples are really contagious, but good apples are not contagious. And holiness is not contagious. And nearness to the people of God won't do a thing for you. You have to touch fire for yourself. Because the resurrection is one by one. You can't give your oil to another. You cannot share it. It's for you, as an individual. The sixth verse, you are a holy people. To the Lord. Holy means free from evil, and it also means belonging peculiarly to God in a special way that other people do not. That's what holy means. You are a holy people to the Lord. We are also. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. It's ridiculous to talk about seeing God until you're pure in heart. The pure in heart shall see God. You say, I'm pure in heart by grace. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. You're either pure in heart or not. And until Christ came to turn us away from our transgressions, as it says in Acts. He didn't come to save us in our transgressions. He came to save us, to turn us away from them. Where's that verse? I was reading that directly. It's the last verse. What is it? In the third chapter. Acts 3. It's got to be. Got to be that way. I read that and I said, praise the Lord. Right. All right. Acts 3:26. For you first. Just speaking about Abraham, the covenant of grace. You first, God raised up His servant, that is Jesus, and sent Him to bless you by forgiving every one of you your sins. Is that what it said? What does it say? Well, a Christian is somebody that got turned from his wicked ways. Amen to God. A Christian is somebody that got turned from his wicked ways. That's what the apostles preached. Repent. Turn from your wicked ways. They didn't say just come and God will love you and forgive you and bless you no matter what you do. That's not apostolic preaching. That's what we made up for man fear, to please God, to please men and get a big church. But that isn't apostolic preaching. Apostolic preaching is you have got to turn. And Christ will help you. That's the real gospel, saints. The rest is deception. You say, well, a lot of people are deceived. To that I say amen. You can't go against the Bible. You cannot do it and prosper. The Bible says he sent Jesus to turn us away from our sins. Well, what that means is he sent Jesus to turn us away from our sins. Amen. Well, you don't have to applaud. All right. You tear down their Asherim, verse 7. Burn their graven images with fire. Get tough with sin in your life. When the Lord shows you something is wrong, don't piddle around and say, oh, this is so terrible. Oh, poor me. Oh, woe is me. You know, it isn't going to work that way, saints. God wants you to get tough with that thing. He's given you some fire. Call down the fire of God on the sin in your own life. Amen. Don't say, oh, God, don't judge me. Don't judge me. I'm afraid of what will happen to me. That isn't the way David prayed. Oh, God, don't judge me, whatever you do, because I've got a few things I'm carrying on. He said, judge me, try me, search my heart, see if there be in me any wicked ways. And this under the old covenant. Now, the best prayer you ever pray is, God, judge me now, quick, and let's get it over with. Because if I'm doing something wrong, I want to know about it now. I don't want to wait till the judgment seat of Christ. I mean, what kind of a foolish person is it that wants around with his head in the sand like an ostrich, hoping nobody can see it? Well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, we're praying, you know, because in the spiritual realm, it's just like that. You've got your head in the sand, but that isn't all of you isn't under the sand in the spiritual realm, and they know it, too. So, your thing is to say, God, try me with fire. Put it upon me and my household. I mean, like today. You say, well, what'll happen to me? Well, what'll happen to you is God will come down and do what you prayed, and he'll send the hornet after his enemy in your life. How much better now than to have to stand up to that thing on the day of Christ? Because, listen, it isn't going to fade out. It isn't going to fade out. I know we've been taught that, but again, that's deception. It's not true. You say, how can you be so sure of yourself? Because I read the Bible. That's where I learned all this stuff. We shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we shall answer for the things done in our body, whether they be good or bad. That's 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Now, if that is true according to the Word of God, then, and Paul is saying us, meaning himself and Timotheus and Apollos and Barnabas and Silas and the other good guys, he's not talking about the sinners. He's talking about we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So we say, God, do it now. Let's get it over with. Let's get the enemy out. I may be a little uncomfortable with the situation, but you'll come out better and you'll have peace and joy and be free from the devil. How much better than a huddle in your corner, clutching your rags, scared to death, trembling that God's going to touch you, something like that? That makes no sense. And the enemy comes, all he's got to do is say, boo, and you go running down the street. That's right. Stand up. The righteous are bold as a lion. But the wicked flee when no man pursues them. Because wickedness and fear go hand in hand. Righteousness and courage and faith go hand in hand. Those things go together. And if you're fearful, it's because you've got unbelief in your heart. That's why Israel couldn't enter the land. They were fearful. The first thing that keeps people out of the holy city, according to Revelation 21, is fearful. It says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and whoremongers and all this. But the number one is fearfulness. It'll keep you out of the land. If you've got fear in your heart, it's because of sin in your heart. I don't say you're doing some terrible thing. I'm saying there's something in you that's afraid of being found out. Now, what in you is it being afraid of being found out? The righteous run to the light, that their deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. God wants to give us boldness in the day of judgment. I mean not, oh God, I hope I make it, but boldness! Lord, let it come! Send the fire! Bring this thing out! Let's figure cut bait! Let's get this thing out here where we can see it! And that's my prayer today for every one of us in this church. Make us all manifest. Because God will not work with the people that are married to things that are not right, that are hiding things in their tent. My prayer is, God, make us all, starting with me, make us all clearly manifest. And if there's anything in our hearts that are not right, let's get it out. If we have to be embarrassed, so we have to be embarrassed. It's better that than to cower in fear somewhere. there's no time for fear anymore, saint. That's over. Boy, if you're fearful, you're already whipped. All right. The Lord did not set his love on you, verse 7, nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the people. So there's no use of getting us stuck on ourselves because we're anything. We're nothing. God didn't choose us because we're smart, well-educated, numerous, good-looking, or anything of the kind. It was his own thing. It's his own thing. He says, you, and you. You say that's undemocratic. That's true.
It is.
He said, but I'm going to vote the thing out. No, you're not going to vote it out. This is the kingdom of God. And it works according to God's power and God's knowledge and God's will and God's predestination. Oh, that's good. I don't have to do anything. No, you can't cop onto that. You've got a lot to do. You've got to keep up with God as he's calling. Otherwise, you'd get left back there with some people selling hot dogs and Cokes around Mount Sinai. And then you will be all comfortable waiting for the next football game to start. And the meanwhile, Israel will be 50 miles down the road, and you wake up and say, what happened? What happened? Who took my Coke and my hot dog? And where's everybody gone? Well, they're going down the road, following the cloud and the fire, along with Moses and the Ark of the Covenant and all the men of war and the Shekinah glory. And there you are, 140 degrees in the shade, because you finished your hot dog and wondered when the next game was going to start. Well, it's not God's fault. It's so hot, somebody turn on the cooler around here. That's the problem is, you get the Democrats off and everybody's done. No, that isn't the problem. The problem is the cloud and the fire moved on. They left you there because you got your eyes off of God. Amen. All right. Ninth verse. The Lord your God, he is faithful. That's what we heard this morning. He is God, the faithful God. He keeps his covenant, his loving kindness to a thousand generations. And if we're true, God will bless our children. If we can stand like Abraham, God will bless these lots in our life that have got their tent too close to Sodom. The tenth verse, he repays those who hate them to their faces. Wait careful what you say out of your mouth. And don't say anything against God because he hears it and he'll reward you in kind. The 11th verse, you shall keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments. Then it shall come about because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them that the Lord will keep with you his covenant. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you and bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground and your grain and your new wine and your oil and the increase of your herd and the young of your flock and the land which he swore to your forefathers to give you. You say, this is what I want. I want prosperity. All right. According to the scripture, how do you get prosperity? By believing in God and exercising faith? Is that what it says? Is that what? All right. We'll talk about Abraham's blessing. This is Abraham's blessing right here. All right, according to God's word, not our tradition, but God's word, how do you get material prosperity? By righteous living and getting rid of the enemy. That's nothing to do with living your own way and doing your own thing and believing and getting stuff. That's not true. It's not of God, and don't do it. It will bring you into spiritual trouble. It will strengthen your soul and get you out of God's will if you do that thing. So flee from it. Flee from it. Don't apply your faith to material things. Don't do it. Put your faith on seeking God and let him add to you the things. If you seek first the kingdom, these things shall be added. Don't try to add them with your faith. That means you're seeking the things and not God, and it may work for a while. All that is you're just getting suckered right out of the will of God till you'll be destroyed when the Lord comes. The Lord told you what to do in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. He said, you seek my face and follow me. And if you keep my statutes and judgments and you keep my covenant, then I will do these things. But you see, what God is after is not your prosperity. What God is after is his enemy. If we could ever understand that, everything else would make perfect sense to us. See, we think the devil is our enemy. The devil is not our enemy. The devil is God's enemy. The Bible is not the sword of the Christian. It's the sword of the Spirit. God has an enemy. And what God is after is the destruction of that enemy out of the heavens and the earth. That is one of God's prime objectives. And it's why Jesus Christ was manifested. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. 1 John the 3rd chapter. That he might destroy. He's a destroyer. Get that concept. Don't think of him all the time as a simple little teacher going around at the mercy of men. That's not a true vision of Jesus. He was only gentle God among us to save our souls. But he is anything but a pacifistic little Bible-believing teacher. He is God. He is the mightiest emperor that this world has ever seen or ever will see. And at His word, hell trembles. Jesus Christ has power to remove this whole universe at a word. He is God. And hell knows it. He has told us, do not seek this world or its goods. God said that. God said that. If you do, you are disobeying God. He said, do not set your affection on things in this world. Do not do it. No, yes, but. Don't do it. Get your heart off it. Do not lay up for yourself treasures in this world. Don't do it. God said not to do it. And if you don't do it, and if you seek God so that He can destroy His enemy out of your life, you may be required to go through a season in which material abundance is denied you in order to achieve a higher purpose. As was true of Moses. As was true of Paul. They were denied the Abrahamic covenant in order that a higher purpose of God might be fulfilled. And what was that purpose? That they might march with the Ark of the Covenant, with the Ten Commandments, and bring the holiness of God into the land of promise. That's a higher purpose. And when that's done, and if it's done, then God will bless you with material goods. But until that is done, if you switch the process and take it in your hands, you are serving Antichrist, not Christ. You say, it's so close I can't tell the difference. That's right. That's why you're in church this morning. It's so that God might teach us the difference. It's a very critical difference. Antichrist is not totally different from Christ. He's exactly like Christ. The difference is that he moves according to self, and Christ moves according to God. And if you move according to self to seek the things of God, then you are not of Christ. If you want to be of Christ, then enter into union with Christ. And you will be with Christ, in Christ, in God. But if you try to do it by using your own faith or knowledge or the Word of God to accomplish something that came out of your own heart, then you are not of God. You say, I can't see the difference. Ask God. He'll show you it's a difference between night and day, between Christ and Antichrist, if you reverse these things just a little. It's not us, saints. Redemption is not of man. The plan is not of man. The kingdom is not of man. The enemy is not of man. The victory is not of man's faith. Man's love isn't what characterizes the disciple. It isn't man's joy that shows the world that we're Christians. It isn't man's talents and abilities that bears witness to Christ. It is a human being who is in union with the Lord Jesus and allows Him to reign in us, and we follow Him in humble obedience. That's the true way, and the only true way. And if we will do that, then God will crush Satan under our feet. That's God's thing. Then God will gird Himself and serve us. But if we try to get God to gird Himself and serve us today and make Jesus Christ our servant, without any regard to God's eternal plan against Satan or any of the other things, but just to use God to get our way, then we are not of Christ at all, and we can say Jesus is Lord from now until a chocolate cow gives white milk. Right away, isn't it? I should say a white cow gives chocolate milk. That'd be more sense. All right, now. All right. He will love you. God will do all these things if we keep His commandments. All right? The 17th verse. If you say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? Listen. In the 18th verse, you shall not be afraid of them. Let's say it together. You shall not be afraid of them. Again. You shall not be afraid of them. Now, how many in here are afraid of the devil? You already disobeyed God. He said, you shall not be afraid of it. You are not to fear the devil. He is not your problem. You say, but I feel so terrible when I wake up at 2:30 in the morning, and I'm sure the devil's got the victory. No, he doesn't have the victory. He's just trying to see if he can get you to bite on his bait. That's all there is to it. You mean all this suffering and shaking and trembling and everything I've gone through, my nightmare, is all an illusion? Like Mission Impossible? That's right. It's just an illusion. He's a paper tiger. He doesn't have the goods. He cannot deliver. He has to obey God. He has to ask God's permission before he does anything. May I please do this and that with Job? God thinks about it. Then he decides, oh yeah, I've got something good for Job. Well, I'll just let Satan just fall into my trap like he always does. Like God used him to slay Christ in order to save the world. He doesn't have it, saints. And so you're to quit fearing him. Well, now that's up to you. You have to choose that in your own heart. The 20th verse, the Lord your God will send the hornet against them. Who's the hornet against? Against Satan. And the reason that the hornets get the buzzing around your life is not because God wants to harm you or because the devil wants to harm you or anybody else. It's God after his enemy in your life. Praise the Lord. And the conclusion of this chapter says, God will deliver their kings into your hands. Saints, I want you to know that the day is coming when not only will we be able to gain little victories in church over demons, but that you will live to see the day when the body of Christ is charged with throne power and brought against the mightiest angels of heaven and cast them down by the word of God, until every one of them, including Satan himself, is reduced to ashes. We're going to go after the kings like Samson. You see, we had to try it our own self and fall asleep in the lap of the world and then go to grinding at the mill with our eyes out. But what Satan and the demons can do nothing about is the fact that the hair of the church is growing back today. To speak symbolically, the consecration, the separation unto God is growing back. We still can't see. We're still blind. We still can't see that thing. But that's growing back. That consecration is growing back. And there'll be a day when there'll be a little lad. There'll just be something that the devil would never imagine would even happen. The little lad won't be a person, but it will be the body of Christ, new and fresh. In fact, it will be Christ born within his people. We'll guide the anointing to the seat of Satan. And one hand will be reached out on one pillar like this, and one hand will be reached out, and then the church, having learned once and for all that all of its efforts can do nothing, will bow in the death of submission to God. And when that happens, the entire structure of Satan will come crashing down and be destroyed, and the church will slay more in its life than it ever did in its death. Praise the Lord. Lord, we come unto you this day, this Sunday. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you. We praise you for the blood of the cross. I'm going to ask the men to go out now and get the children for the communion. Praise you for the blood of the cross, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. I know that the word today has fallen into good ground, Lord. I've felt it connect, and it probably answered some questions for some of us, Lord. And that's what we ask you to do, is to glorify yourself among us in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we pray that this word now will take root. And if there be any, are there any among us, while every head is bowed, are there any among us who are still in fear? Let's pray against that thing. I still feel a bondage of this fear, these nightmarish kind of things, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Are there any among us who want to slip up your hand and just say that nightmarish thing is still troubling me? Are there any more? Are there any more? Are there any more? Another one? Is there any more?
little fear here this morning. Is there another one who's afraid of the devil? 3, 4, are there any others? Every head bowed now, I'm going to pray. Are there any others? Just slip your hand up. If you want release, slip it up this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen, I see that hand. Are there any others in the name of Jesus? Just lift up your hand. You're going to get released this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you. Are there any others? Just slip up your hand this morning. Others. And then we're going to come against that thing in the name of Jesus. It's the time right now. All right. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want the saints to agree with me in prayer. And I want those now that lift their hands to lift them up and hold them up. Just hold them up as a sign unto God. And we're going to come against that thing in the name of Jesus. Father, we preach your word this morning straight, Lord, from Holy Scripture. We have said, God, what you have said. We have repeated the word of God. And now we come, Lord, to announce the victory of Calvary. We come, Lord, in conjunction, Lord, with the faith of these whose hands up. Lord, they showed their faith in God and in the Word by raising their hand. They showed that faith. That's as far as they can go. Now, Lord, we come for the faith of Jesus. And we ask that the Lord Jesus in our midst right now will give us of His faith. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, Satan, we come against you, you devils of fear. You will leave these hands now in the name of Jesus. Leave this church. Satan, you're a defeated foe. You will leave out of here now in the mighty name of Jesus the Lord. Hallelujah. We give glory to the Lord Jesus. And every demon of fear, gone out of our assembling. Every demon of nightmares, gone out of our assembling. Every demon of dread, gone out of our assembling. Every demon of fear of Satan, we come against you, satanic thing. Fear of yourself, we bind you in the holy name of Jesus Christ, God's Son, and we bind you and command you to leave now. In the name of Jesus, leave now. The root of you will leave. You will leave and you will not return. Now we pray the angel of the Lord will encompass round about each one of these with his hand up or her hand up. The angel of the Lord will encompass round about and give that sense of protection and power and glory and eternal invincibility in Jesus Christ. Let it be the portion of each one, Lord. His hand was up this day. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Jesus. Thank you, Holy Jesus. Thank you, Holy Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's praise you, saints. Lift your hands up. Let's praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful is Jesus. Hallelujah. Lion of the tribe of Judah, we give praise unto thee. We give praise unto thee. Hallelujah, we give praise unto thee, Jesus of Nazareth. Hallelujah, thou art the Lord. Thou art victor. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is victor. Hallelujah. We announce your victory, Lord. We announce your triumphant power. Hallelujah. You've led captivity captive. And we praise you for the wonderful deliverance that is in Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Baraka hasili arabahandara hasili. Ikasili arabahaya arabaka hasili. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed. By my Spirit, saith the Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Your mountain shall be removed. Your mountain shall be removed. Your mountain shall be removed. By my Spirit, saith the Lord.
his name. He's a mountain mover. Praise God. Well, we prepare our hearts this morning for the body and blood of our Lord. Amen. Who did it all. And I ask Paul and the others to come now and get the elements ready for the Lord. We remember our Lord Jesus, who at such a fearful price purchased this victory. And we thank God for it. We stand in it. And we boast in it. We boast in His glory, in His victory.
For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Shall we hold the bread? Amen. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you that in 1980, that we are going to have strength that we have never had before. And it's going to come from heaven. It's going to come from your very body that was broken for us. And we know, Lord, that as we take today, that this is going to be strength and courage and hope, and we're going to have a joy and a peace and an assurance and a courage that we have never known before. We ask for it and thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen. Let's partake together. Amen, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We remember, Lord. We remember. Praise God. We stand in that victory, Lord. After the same manner also he took the cup. Let's hold the cup. When he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Lord, we are showing forth your death this morning. We're showing forth that death, Lord, that purchased us from hell and from the devil. And now, Lord, we have been paid for, and your life in us is giving us the victory today. And we know, Lord, it will carry us through and lift us up when the trumpet blows. Praise your name, Lord. This is our sacrifice and our resurrection life working within us. Let it be so, and healing and help to everyone in this room this morning. And courage, Lord. I just feel that some need courage. And let that be courage of Jesus, His courage, in our very hearts and personalities this morning. In His holy name, and thank you for the answer. Let's partake together now. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Shall we stand? Shall we stand? Praise the Lord. His name is Jesus. Jesus, that heart weep no more. He has healed the broken hearted, open wide prison doors. He is able to deliver evermore. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou art worthy, thou art worthy, O Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thou art worthy, O Lord, thou art worthy, O Lord, thou art worthy, O Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I'm going to ask our brother Spedale, if he will, to conclude in prayer.
Thank you, Lord God, for all the blessings that you've given us, Father.
Yes.
Thanks, Father, that we have partaken of your body and your blood to renew us and renew our strength. I give you praise and glory for all you've done and for the words that we received this day. Let us go our way, Lord, and guide us. We give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord bless everyone.